There's no lying that you can't break down, Lord. You come for us. We thank you tonight, Lord, that you seek us, Lord. We seek you, but you seek us far more. Such a privilege, Lord, of being here tonight, just being able to worship you together, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, guys, let's give the Lord a huge applause tonight. Thank you, Father. Woo! Yeah, guys, feel free to sit down. Let me make the usual, some unusual disclaimers straight away. I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to use words that might upset people. I'm going to say things which you don't understand. Show me a lot of grace. Because, guys, we're on a long journey. We're on a journey. And this is an amazing night. I've just been looking forward to this moment so much. And it's just like God's in it. For those of you that might not know, my name's Robert Britton. I can get that bit right. And beyond that, who knows? Assistant pastor here. And it's just a privilege to be here. We obviously have been on a journey in a different way to what New Wave have been on a journey. Yours is a bit more of a shock than a journey, I guess, at the moment. But we've been through that shock period because, of course, Mike Robbins was the senior minister here for 26 years. I don't think anybody really expected him to put his notice in and move on to do something else. And so when it happened, it came as a huge shock to all of us. And we want to honour Mike tonight before we do anything else. We want to honour God, but we also want to honour Mike for the great work which he's done over the years in this place. And amen. I'm just going to introduce things, and then I'm going to hand over to Matt and Sally in a few minutes to share some stuff. We're going to try and aim to be sort of done round for about 8 o'clock, so that those of you particularly that got kids and those that get bored easily can go home. two things might not be together, but there we go. There's a scripture which constantly comes back to my mind. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach, but it's Psalm 118, and it says this: "The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes." That's incredible, isn't it? The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice together and be glad. What a great psalm that is. What a great psalm. And really, it sort of links in with a little bit about a story in 1 Samuel 12, where the children of Israel for years have been crying out to God for a king. And Samuel the prophet was the leader of the land, and they'd been crying out to God for a king, and God was constantly saying to them, "You don't need a king, I'm your king." But there came a time when God relented and gave in to the people's cries. That there's no intention of there being any sort of similarity what's happening here tonight. But actually, it is a salutary lesson for us to remember that there's only one king, and that's King Jesus of our lives. And so it's great that Matt and Sally are coming on board, that we're going to be working together, and we're going to see some amazing things happen as the churches merge together to serve God in the county. That is something fairly unique, I would suggest, and I am absolutely sure that God's in it. But the scripture that came was, "Stand still and see the salvation of God." And we just need to stand still sometimes. When Mike put his notice in, we'd never been this way before. I'd never been this way before. I've been a Christian forever. Well, no, not forever. That's not theologically right. But from a teenage years and been here for 16 years, and it totally took us by surprise. And to be honest, we didn't really know all that much about what to do about it, but we sought the Lord. And we listened to Simon Foster, the regional guy, and that's always a good combination. We spent some time praying and fasting as a church. And we were a little bit restricted to some extent as to what we could fast and pray about, because we couldn't mention any names, we couldn't mention what the process was, or at least where we were in the process, because obviously there's more than one party involved. But we prayed and we fasted and we just sort of came before the Lord. And I want to just share with you very briefly a few of the words which were given to us Thursday the 21st of June. Here's a good one. When someone takes over the steering of a big ship, there could be a wobble, but the right course will still be followed, so we need to hold on. That's a deep one, isn't it? The Lord is saying there are many fish that he could send to do the work, but I'm sending a whale. This is it. Of course, it's real spiritual meaning to that, of course. Real spiritual meaning. Of course there is. I'll send a rough diamond. Anybody agree with that one? I'll send a rough diamond. He'll be a cutting stone here in my church. He'll be a cutting stone. Diamonds are rough, but they're there, and they're very, very effective in terms of cutting. And he'll shine in all directions. That's a great word, isn't it? See what else we've got here. There's loads of them, but I'm not going to read them all out. God is working on people who have been quiet for so long, they will speak up, step in, and the new pastor and wife with children are here to help that. That's a different emphasis, isn't it? There are people, God is working on people who have been quiet for so long. So you quiet people, watch out. They'll speak up. They'll step in, and the new pastor and wife and children are here to help with that. He and the family will want to come. They cannot wait. You're going to tell the truth tonight, aren't you, Sally? They've been waiting a long time. That's interesting. Take my flip-flops off. Next one. That person will be a mover and a shaker and will empower God's people to serve and will be a leader of men. That's a great word, isn't it? Empower, leader of men. A wind of change is coming. Change not for the sake of change, but a chance of reconciliation to bring the people of God together under a new leader with a fresh mandate from God to do things differently. Man. The Lord says, I've already picked this man. He's ready. I have prepared him for the task ahead. That was stunning. We didn't know what that meant when God brought it. But Matt and Sally are going to share some stuff, and that will fall very much into context, because quite obviously God was speaking to us and he was speaking to these guys. So I want to ask you to give a big round of applause and a welcome to Matt and Sally as we come and share some stuff. God bless you.
Bless you, mate. He's off. He's gone for a wee already. We're back. Just when you thought you couldn't get rid of us. Well, there you go. I think really the sort of heart behind tonight really was that we would just share something of the story of how we came to be back here, standing here right now, because I have to say, at the start of this year, I didn't expect to be here. But quite often, this is how God works, isn't it? He interrupts our world and disrupts our plans and unsettles us. And we've had and experienced all of that. And so I'm not going to stand up here tonight and give us this great vision strategy for the next 5 years. There's going to be none of that. But I just want to share something of what God has been doing in our lives, really, to bring us back to this place. And so I just maybe take us back to September last year. So incidentally, for those of you who don't know us, we were in this church many years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, and Sally and I felt a real clear call of God to go down to Perranporth, and we relocated our family there to see a new expression of church established in that place. And the Lord has been really faithful in that. And so we have journeyed that journey for the last 5 years. And it was, in many ways, it was hard leaving this place, because it was a fruitful place, a fruitful ministry. But God clearly spoke to us and said that we were to go and we were to plant ourselves in that community, and a new expression of church would emerge from us just being there and loving and serving and blessing that community. And 5 years later, there's some wonderful people that are here today that have journeyed with us, and we're really thankful to the Lord for what he's done there and he will continue to do in the future. So the best days are yet to be for Perranporth, let me tell you, in that surrounding areas, and we really believe that. But yeah, so we went through this journey, and then in about September or October last year, Sally and I were just sensing, I was particularly sensing that the Lord was stirring us for something else, for the more. I didn't quite understand, I couldn't tell what he was doing, but you know when you just get in your spirit that something's shifting, and we have got a heart for Newquay. We've always had a love for this place. My mum still lives here. My mum, where are you, mum? Love you, mum. And dad, and yeah, dad's as well. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't be where that we are today if it wasn't for them, yeah. But yeah, so we felt that we were too... Yeah, Nuki's never really left our heart, is the truth be known. So I'm just going to pull out some stuff that I had in my journal. So September... we felt this real stirring in our hearts for something, the idea that Newquay's never really left us. And as the church kind of grew in Perranporth, what we noticed was that there was a number of people that were travelling in from Newquay and beyond to come and journey with us at New Wave. And we then thought, well, actually, what would it look like for us to send these people back to form missional communities where they live, to live as people of God in their location? So we already had a work that was beginning in this area, but we just didn't quite know how the Lord was going to unfold it all. And so we were just praying, Lord, what do you want us to do? And then at a regional meeting on the 5th of February, here in this NCC building, and Steph was there and a few other people were there, all the Elim leaders were there. Simon, who's our regional leader, he encouraged us all to get down into pairs and to just pray with somebody and begin to prophesy over them. And so I got with this guy who was from Exeter, and he knew nothing of our situation. He knew nothing about who we are. And he said these words. He said, this, bearing in mind, this was on the 5th of February. He said, by the 21st of April, Jesus would have spoken into your life and he would have redirected your path slightly. I was like, okay, yeah, fine. And it's one of those moments where you think, okay, well, Sally was like, I'm going to write that down for you so you don't forget, because she knows what my memory's like. So she wrote this date down for me. Anyway, fast forward to the 19th of April, we get this phone call from Simon Foster, our regional leader, and he lets me know about the situation with Mike, you know, moving on. And he poses this question to us. He says, would you consider taking on Newquay and having oversight of the work in Perranporth and the work in Newquay? So we're like, okay, well, that's quite big. I didn't see that one coming. But then Sally reminded me of that moment. She was like, remember that day, the 21st, that was going to be a red letter day, 21st of April, Jesus would have spoken by that date. You remember that? So I was like, okay, yeah, right, okay. So then during my own personal Bible study, I'd been reading through the Bible chronologically, and I'm on the 5th of May, I was reading, and my passage of scripture for that day that I was reading was 1 Samuel 29, verses 4-5. And it's the story of David. And David was on the run from Saul. He had to leave Saul's company because Saul was trying to pursue him. He was trying to kill him and he was trying to put a spear in him. And in many ways, I said to Sally, you know, I've always felt a little bit like David. I always admired David. He was a man after God's own heart. And he's a man who I try to be, a man after God's own heart. And anyway, David was running away from Saul, and he ran into the Philistine camp, and he was partnering with them, and he was joining with Achish. And Achish turned around to the other leaders of the Philistines, and he said, we've got this guy David. He's a Hebrew and that, but he's going to journey with us. And they were like, no, 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 he can't, because he can't fight with us because he's with Saul. And then 1 Samuel 29, verse 4, says this. Let me just get up there. Achish replied, "Is this not David, who was an officer of Saul, king of Israel? He's already been with me over 1 year, and from the day he left Saul until now, I found no fault with him." But the Philistine commanders were angry with Achish and said this, "Send the man back that he may return to the place that you have assigned for him." And I don't know if you've ever been in one of those situations where you're reading the word of God and Holy Spirit comes upon you in that moment. And he takes what is a two-dimensional words in a book and he slaps you in the face and says, "That's a word for you now, my son." And it was one of those moments. It was a Kairos moment, and it was confirmation again that God was widening our ministry and our remit. And then other little life circumstances. So my lovely daughter Eva was coming to the end of her secondary school, and we were putting in her application to go to secondary school, and we were choosing either Richard Lander in Newquay or Truro, sorry, let's get that right, Truro, or Tretheris in Newquay. And I was like, "Lord, well, will you send her to the place that you want us to be investing in?" Because there's always that element that when your kids go to a school, you naturally build relationships with parents and teachers. And I'm like, "Okay, Lord, is it Truro or is it Newquay? Where are you sending Eva?" And we didn't get any of those choices. We didn't get Richard Lander or Tretheris. And we ended up getting Treviglas, which is in Newquay. And I was like, "Okay, Lord, we won't dismiss that school. We'll go and have a look round that school." And I walked round that school, and Sally and I were praying as we walked round that school, "Lord, show us the sign. Is this where you want us to be?" And we walked through one of the classrooms, and I saw this man here working away. This guy's a legend, by the way. He works in the schools. You are a phenomenal blessing to that school, and I'm hearing great reports. But he was working, and I said, "Well, what's he doing in here?" And he said, "He's the youth leader from one of the churches here in this community. We've opened the door up to the church. We really want them to come in here, and he's doing some pastoral care with some of the kids." And I'm like, this is where you want us to be. So there are times when God just interrupts our world. And I have to say, I didn't see this coming. I didn't see this moment coming. But I do believe it's a significant moment for the ministry that's taking place in Perranporth, but Newquay as well. This is a Kairos moment, a moment where the kingdom of God has come very, very near. And we, God's people, have this phenomenal opportunity to partner with him in what he's doing in this place, to come into alignment, to come into agreement, heaven on earth. There's going to be an invasion of heaven on earth along this coastline. I'm telling you, it's great. And it's, so I'm going to ask Sally to come up here and share something of the stuff that she's got on her heart. Incidentally, what we've been really keen to journey out our story in New Wave is that we very much see ourselves as co-leading the church. I couldn't do what I am without my wife. And, you know, we complement each other. We bring out the best in each other. And so, yeah, I'm really honoured to be journeying this with my wife. Yeah, she's awesome.
I'm sure he's going to finish off with some drawings for you as well. For those that have been journeying with us at New Wave, he's a bit of a comfort blanket. He brings out the flip chart every Sunday. So you'll have that joy in a moment or two. But on a more spiritual note, the drawings are quite spiritual actually, but as Matt said, the Lord does surprise us. And I know a few of you heard our story on Sunday as well when we were able to share. And, you know, coming back into a place that is so beautiful. And that's not just the walls. You know, that's the people. Because the church is the people. And I know there's been words and prophetic words and pictures over this place about being church without walls. But, you know, church cannot be a place without the people. And so for us, it's very important that we come together. I am a practical person. For those that know me, the Lord speaks to me in very practical ways. When we left to go to Perranporth, I was shipping in some ladies for the women's conference, and I turned around our corner on Eulalia Road, and a Western Greyhound bus came around, and I prayed that morning, and it had Perranporth and green lights on a Western Greyhound bus. And I knew that day we were to go to Perranporth. And when the Lord started speaking to us through things, I said, Lord, I need a practical thing. I need you to speak to me, not just Matt. We're doing this together and the family. And he took me to a beautiful couple, Matt and Helen, that morning on the Tuesday when I'd been praying for this couple that had come together, two families joining together through life situations and circumstances. And they said, we are coming together as a family for his glory. And I knew that actually this was a time where family was coming together, where actually the church across the coastline is coming together, because that's really important. And as much as we are an Elim church, as much as there's New Wave Church there, as much as there's Newquay Church here, it is the church. And so for me, it was a very profound picture of a couple coming together as family, but I think it's for all of us coming together as family. And so like Matt said, we have been journeying this incarnational living. What does it look like to be people in our communities loving Jesus? And we have sent out people into their communities, missional communities. We started that in January. And if we hadn't have done that, and the Lord had this planned for us as the body, it could have been quite messy. Because actually, the people that are sent out in their communities right now have actually doing life together, and they're being church where they're at. And so this is the beautiful thing where I know a few of you, and I don't know if we're going to touch on that, but a few of you might be thinking, well, are you going to be closing down a Sunday service? Are you going to be pushing us all out into the streets? And no. Let me just stand here. Let us just all stand here. No. We are not closing down a Sunday gathering. Why? Because we can represent Jesus here on this street. There might be people that are actually out in their communities and be in church in their communities on a Sunday. That's okay. That's actually okay, guys. And so in December, for those of you that know, Matt and I, we took on a business when we planted ourselves over in Perranporth. And normally this time of year, we would have been in a tent. Because for the last three years, we pack up our home, part of our home, and we move into a tent to help subsidise the ministry, really. And I knew that I knew in December that we weren't to pack up our home and that we were to stay put for this summer. And every time I said to Matt, and he was like, oh no, I'm not too sure about that. The mortgage is massive. And I'm like, it's fine, it's fine. I just really feel, and the thing that the Lord had shown me was it was mainly for Eva, for the fact that she had SATs, that she had secondary school to go to, and actually family is really important. And so I said, we need to have roots this summer. And then obviously everything unfolding. I honestly don't think if I was packing up my home 2 weeks ago that we would be stood here. Or those that have come around and had a cup of tea or a chat, you'd be sat in a tent with us anyway. But so that was one thing that I knew as well. I was reading the other morning and just taking some time out just to really think, Lord, you know, what is a scripture that I can sort of come with this evening. And the one that the Lord has placed on my heart is 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all the congregations of the Lord's people, he is a God of order. And maybe some of you are thinking, I know that particular passage is talking about, you know, in your gatherings and in your church context, you know, that he's a God of order when a word comes in or a prophetic picture comes in.